Good to be in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday evening. Amen. I tell you, so good to be here tonight. So good to see each and every one of you. And I count it a great honor and a great privilege to be at Calvary Baptist Church this evening. I tell you what, I stand amazed at the goodness and the grace of Almighty God and what He allows us to do for Him in this walk of life if we'll yield ourselves to Him. And I tell you what, I just appreciate this church and the testimony of this church here in this community. What a great blessing that is. And of course, we're just right over the hill and certainly amazed at how God's blessed there. And I tell you, we serve a great God tonight and a good God. And I'm thankful I know Him as Savior this evening. And I hope and pray that you do as well. And again, I count it a great honor. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for allowing us to come be in the service tonight. And Brother Reggie, if they ever kick you out of the choir here, you just come on over the hill, brother. We'll take you there. Amen. I'm just kidding tonight. And again, just so good to be here. Thank you, church. Thank you, choir, for coming and being in the service this evening. And if you hear anybody over the next few weeks say things are tore up over at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, you tell them they absolutely are. But we're getting them put back together as well. Amen. And so we're going to be out of our sanctuary for a few weeks and be meeting in our fellowship building. Matter of fact, they took our pews out. They got them out today. And so we're privileged to be able to be here tonight in this service. And again, I'm just so thankful for all that God does for us. I stand amazed tonight. Again, it's the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. Well, you come for preaching tonight. I enjoyed the singing. Thank you again, choir, tonight and the fellowship. But let's get into the Word of God tonight and let God speak to our hearts. I prayed and I had another thought on my heart. And yesterday, God began to deal with me out of the book of Joshua about a particular message, and I've preached out of these verses before, but I've never preached this message, so I'm going to try it out on you tonight. I believe in trying to mind the Lord, and certainly I want to be in His will, and I know many times we say we're preaching to the choir, and this message tonight may, I know these are the faithful people, these no doubt are the faithful of Calvary, and I know these are the faithful folks of Pleasant Grove, but God just placed this message upon my heart, and I pray that each of us will take it into consideration tonight. Now, if you're here lost, I would say tonight you need to be saved. First and foremost, that would be the greatest thing that could take place in the service tonight. But then I want us to consider this evening from these verses here out of Joshua chapter number 24. Of course, they're very familiar. Probably everybody in the building tonight knows the very text that I'm going to use this evening. I'm going to pick up my reading tonight in verse number 13 and maybe read down through verse about number 21 tonight. Go ahead and ask you to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God if you're able to stand tonight. And I love the book of Joshua. I love as we come to this great book that as you come to chapter number 1, the Bible says, and Moses, the servant of God, had died. And then we see that God raises up, of course, Joshua to continue to lead the children of Israel over into the promised land. Now we come to the last part of the book of Joshua. In chapters number 23 and chapters number 24, you will find, if you will, Joshua giving his farewell address to the children of Israel. And as we come to this great text tonight, he makes a great statement, of course, in verse number 15. And tonight, if I had a title or a thought that I want you to consider this evening, it would just simply be this. Have you made up your mind? Have you made up your mind? I believe tonight, if Joshua was here tonight and he spoke the English language as we speak it, and I'm not taking away anything from the Word of God the way it's phrased, but I almost imagine it tonight, him saying to the children of Israel, have you made up your mind? Or you need to make up your mind. Again, I know this is the faithful, but there may be individuals and there may be families here tonight that you've not really made up your mind in who you're going to serve. So I pray God will help each of us tonight as we consider these verses of Scripture before us this evening. Verse number 13, we'll pick up our reading. The Bible says, Joshua again speaking to the children of Israel, he said, talking about God, and I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Notice in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Notice in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, Joshua was saying once again, have you made up your mind? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Now notice Joshua in verse 19. You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. But notice in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. Notice in verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Then skip over, if you will, to verse number 31 for the sake of time. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Notice that. And all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. Again, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the privilege, Father, to be in your house tonight. Thank you for this dear pastor, his family, and Lord, this church. And I pray that, God, tonight that you would continue, Father, to bless them and use them, Father, here in this community. I pray many souls would be saved. I pray that many hearts would be encouraged. And I pray, Father, tonight for our church as well. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just bless us all together. Father, we are, Lord, in this for one reason tonight, and that's to uplift the precious name of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, tonight now you would take me. I yield myself to you. I pray you'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, give me liberty tonight. I pray you'd bind any hindering spirit. I pray the Spirit of God will have liberty now to work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be obedient to, now tonight, most of all. If there's someone here this evening lost, that tonight would be the good night, Lord, that they would come and call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. I pray you'll use us now tonight. Forgive us again where we fail you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Here now again in the great book of Joshua tonight, in these last two chapters, as we said, we find again Joshua addressing the children of Israel. Joshua is getting ready to leave off the scene. And here again tonight, we find that he is given some instruction, if you will, unto the children of Israel. As we come to these closing chapters, again, we see the great man of God and great leader preparing, as we said, to leave this world. And in so doing, preparing the people to make a decision on who they are going to look to and follow and worship, whether the gods of this world or whether tonight the true and the living God. So again, before us tonight, the question, as I've already said, have you made up your mind? Tonight, have you made up your mind? I pray that each of us would allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with us this evening. And if we have not made up our mind, then hear as Joshua instructs the children of Israel to choose ye this day whom you will serve. I would encourage you tonight, thank God, to let God help you and let God help your family and let God help this church tonight and God help our church, that we would determine morning with God's help, and I'm glad we don't have to do it by ourselves, that with God's help tonight, we're going to do our very best this evening to serve Him and to serve Him with all of our heart. Now, there's a few things that I want to mention tonight from these verses of Scripture as we consider, and again, don't have time to read chapters 23 and 24, but I would encourage you to do that if you've not done that lately, to tie all this together. But God, give me about three or four very simple thoughts, or very elementary tonight. But again, I pray that they'll be a help and a blessing and a challenge to our hearts. Number one, I want you to think about this as we consider the text before us this evening. Number one, Joshua has a destination in mind. As we see tonight, that first of all, of course, we realize these particular chapters were probably written within the last year of Joshua's life. Again, he's getting ready to pass off the scene, and he's getting ready to go be with the God that he has followed by faith for so many years. But he has a destination in mind, not necessarily for himself, but for the children of Israel. And this is what I mean by that. He wants them to get on course and to stay on course. Why? Because there are so many distractions from this world tonight, just as they were in Joshua's day. There's a lot of distractions tonight, if we're not careful, that will take us off course and get us out of the path that God has for you and I. And could I say, God's way is always the best way. Hallelujah tonight. Aren't you glad tonight that you've got a Savior that loved you and died for you and rose again? Thank God for you that you can be saved and redeemed by the good grace of God, that when we leave this world, that heaven will be our home. Hallelujah. Now, thanks be unto the Lamb of God. I'm glad I know Him as Savior tonight. But thanks be unto God, He needs to be more, hallelujah, than just our Savior. He needs to be our Lord. He needs to be our Master. He needs to be the one that we are determined to follow, the one that we are determined to serve. Hey, He's worthy tonight. He's worthy this evening. Thank God, church. He's worthy that you and I would commit our lives, hallelujah, to following Him and serving Him and lifting Him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. Thank God, the church, whether it's Calvary, whether it's Pleasant Grove, hallelujah, we need to lift up the bloodstained banner of Calvary and let people know, thank God, there's a Savior that loves them, that died for them, and will redeem them and save them and give them hope and peace and joy that this world cannot give you tonight, my friend. Joshua has a destination in mind. Now, he's leaving, but he has a destination in mind for the children of Israel. He's led them. He's prayed over them. He's cried over them. And he wants to leave them in the place that they are willing to submit themselves and surrender themselves and yield themselves to serving Almighty God. I'm afraid we're living. I'm concerned. Could I say that tonight? I'm concerned tonight in this day and hour in which we live. Everybody you talk to is saved. Everybody you talk to is ready to go to heaven. Where do you go to church? There's where they begin to stutter. Who's your pastor? Well, I don't know. I think they got a new one. It wasn't about 10 years ago, but they got a new one. Hey, man. What do you do in the church? You get more stuttering. Thank God tonight. He's worthy, as I've already said, that we ought to serve Him tonight. And we ought to serve Him with all of our heart. I'm tired of this half-hearted Christianity. And I can imagine tonight our Savior, as much as He loves us and as merciful as He is, and thank God He is, because if He wasn't, we'd all be in trouble. But He wants us to surrender our whole being to Him. To surrender our will to His will. Our way to His way. Joshua has a destination in mind for the children of Israel. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. You're exactly right. But I understand the same God that Joshua followed. Hallelujah. It's the same God I'm looking to tonight. Hallelujah. It's the same one that saved me and redeemed me. And it's the same one that's worthy that you and I would serve him this evening. Joshua has a destination in mind. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because he's given them instructions. He's tried to get them on course that they might stay on course and not be distracted by all the things around them. Let me give you a couple of things about that. I got to hurry tonight. Have you made up your mind? Joshua had a destination in mind. God has a destination in mind for your life, for your family, for this church, for Pleasant Grove. Hey, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. So many people tonight are missing what God has for them simply because they will not submit themselves to Him. Joshua has a destination in mind. Matter of fact, Jesus is our Old Testament Joshua, by the way. Oh, I ain't got time to preach that tonight. Number one. And then that Joshua has a destination in mind. Number the first thing that Joshua does, as you study chapter 23 and 24, you will find that Joshua reminds them. I about want to shout right here.
Come on, brother.
You're shouting all right, ain't you?
Yeah, yeah,
amen. Somebody ought to help me. Amen. Joshua reminds them of where God had brought them from.
There you go.
Hallelujah tonight. Oh, preacher, you're going to talk about salvation. You better believe it. Hallelujah. I don't ever get tired of talking about salvation. I don't ever get tired of talking about what Jesus done for me one Sunday morning. Back on September the 27th, 1987. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, as a 20-year-old young man, I'm telling you what, headed to hell. But thanks be to God, the Holy Ghost of God come by where I was at that morning and convicted my old heart that I needed a Savior. And He pointed me to Calvary. And I made my way to Calvary on that Sunday morning. Thank God, I'm glad I did. Because when I got to Calvary, God done something for me that night, hallelujah, that nobody else could do. My mama couldn't do it for me. My daddy couldn't do it for me. The preacher couldn't do it for me. But thanks be to God, when I got to Jesus, thank God I'm glad. Thank God He done something in me that I've not got over. I don't want to get over it. I just want to rejoice in it tonight. Hallelujah. And just be reminded of where God has already brought us from tonight. God brought you from anything? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, if you realize where you were and the condition you was in, lost and undone without God, but hallelujah, His love and His mercy and His grace come to where you were. You couldn't get to Him, but hallelujah, I'm glad He got to me. Children of Israel couldn't redeem themselves. They couldn't save themselves. They couldn't free themselves. But God sent a man by the name of Moses, the deliverer down there, and God used that man, hallelujah, under the power of God to deliver His people.
Amen.
Calvary. It was all about delivering mankind.
Thank you, Lord.
To bring us from where we were.
Amen.
See, Joshua had a destination in mind.
Right.
And so how's he going to get them to that destination? How's he going to get them to that place? Well, first of all, he reminds them of where God had brought them from. I'll tell you what, if we'd ever really get a hold of that. I'm talking about really get a hold of where God brought us from.
Yes,
and what God saved us from and redeemed us from.
Amen.
We'd ever wouldn't run to this altar tonight and say, and be like, oh, Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me.
Amen.
I believe that tonight. Joshua had a destination in mind. Number one, he reminds them of where God had brought them from. I wrote down in my notes, glory right there. Glory right there. Why? Because I could never serve Him until He first delivered me.
Amen.
You know, I'm afraid some people in the church have good intentions, but I'm afraid tonight they've never got to Calvary. Friend, it'll never do you no good till you get to Calvary. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes,
if you're here lost tonight, God wants to deliver you.
Amen.
Listen, you'll never be able to serve Him till He first delivers you. And then when you get delivered, sometimes in the journey, Brother Mark, I need to be reminded.
Oh, yeah.
Those times, brother, when you get discouraged.
Yes,
those times when you look around and you can't find the people that's supposed to be here, but they ain't here. Thank God you just look up tonight. Let God remind you, hallelujah, of where He brought you from and what He's done for you. I'm telling you, thank God it'll put a charge in your battery. Thank God it'll put a spring in your step. It'll put a smile on your face. Brother Anderson, it'll put a song down in your heart. Thank God it'll make you want to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Go ahead, brother.
God reminds them of where He brought them from. Let me say a couple of things about that. Number one, He reminds them of the burden of bondage. Now read chapters 23 and 24. Joshua reminds them, God brought you out of bondage.
Right.
Oh, this gives me something else here. Thank you, Lord. Why in the world do God's people go around looking like we're still living in that bondage?
Come on, brother.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've been delivered from that bondage. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I come to set you free. I come to make you free. Hallelujah. I have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight that this world cannot give me this evening. Hallelujah. He reminds them that they have been delivered from their bondage. Secondly, He reminds them that they have not only been delivered from their bondage, but then if you'll read these chapters, you'll find also that He reminds them that God had delivered them in the battles that they had faced.
Oh, yeah.
I say glory right there.
Oh, yeah.
You ever had any battles?
Come on, preacher.
Oh, no, preacher. Everything's just been rosy and sweet.
Come on, preacher.
You ought to write a book, you get rich.
Come on.
We're all going to have our battles.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
But Joshua reminds them not only of God's deliverance from those burdens, but Joshua said, don't you remember that it was God that brought you through the battles?
Oh, yeah, thank you, Lord.
Woo, glory. You tell me another deal like that going on anywhere, brother. I'm telling you, there's not a better deal in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, nowhere. Thank God in the true and the living God and reminding us this evening there's a destination in mind and reminding us that God, hallelujah, tonight needs to remind us that He has delivered us from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of this world and from the battles that we face. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank God there. I don't know what you might be going through tonight. I don't know what battle you may be facing this evening. I'm glad my God's bigger than all of them tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad He can still step out in the midst of the storm and say, peace, be still. And the winds have to lay down. Thank God I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad I'm serving one. When I'm in the midst of the battle, I'll come around once in a while and just whisper, I'm still here. I've still got it. Thank God, just keep fighting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Joshua has a destination in mind. But before he can get him to that destination, he has to remind them of God's deliverance from the burden and from the battles.
Yes, sir.
I'm a winner either way. I love that song. I'm a winner either way.
Oh, yeah.
If I go or if I stay. Why? Because of the one that lives within me. Thirdly, tonight, God, Joshua not only reminds them in trying to get them to this destination of his deliverance from the burden of bondage, but also the battles that God had delivered them from. And there was many. As you study about the children of Israel. But third thing he reminds them of in trying to get them to this destination. If this won't make you shout, I don't know what will. I mean, that's enough to make us shout all the way to heaven on.
Right.
But then thirdly, he reminds them of the blessings.
Amen.
That they were enjoying.
Right.
Now, as you come to chapter number 23, you'll find that there was a time of rest from their battles. Oh, I don't want to get off on that again. I done run that rabbit one time. We won't run it again. But as we come to verse number 13 that I picked up my reading tonight, you will find that Joshua reminds them of the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. They come to a land that originally wasn't theirs. They're enjoying the vineyards and the olive yards. They didn't even have to plant.
Right.
Brother Gwynn, I believe I ought to say amen right there. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? I'm enjoying salvation tonight. I'm not enduring this thing. I'm enjoying it tonight. I'm enjoying a salvation tonight that I couldn't work for and buy anyway, that I didn't have to pay for. Thank God it was free. It was free. It was free tonight. Hallelujah. If we're ever going to get to the destination where God wants to take us, and what God wants us to be,
right,
sometimes we got to be reminded of our deliverance.
Thank you, Lord.
From the bondage of the burden of sin.
Come on.
From the battles.
Yes, sir.
And remind us of the blessings.
Thank you.
Anybody in here been blessed today?
Amen.
You got up this morning, didn't you?
Come on, brother.
Anybody eat today? Preacher, I work hard. That's the reason I get to eat. God lets you work hard so you could eat. Man, everything you and I have. The Bible says in the book of James, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from God above tonight. Every good thing you have tonight. God ever give you a family?
Come on.
God ever give you a church to come to?
Come on.
God give you a preacher?
Come on, brother.
God give you a child, a grandchild? Hey, I'm telling you, God's been good to us tonight. So Joshua reminds them so that he's got a destination in mind. He's getting ready to pass off the scene. But see, he don't want the work to stop.
Right.
Boy, there's another message right there.
Come on.
Somebody says he'll never get this preached. I may not.
Preach it, bro.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
Amen. You in a good place tonight. See, Joshua wants the work to continue.
Come on.
That ought to be our goal tonight. God, we want the work to continue. Why? Because I've got family that still needs to get saved.
Come on, preacher.
That still needs to hear. You've got family that still needs to hear. You've got folks that needs a church home and a church family.
Come on, brother.
There's still work to be done.
Yes,
I'm afraid that we're sitting back and saying, well, Jesus is coming, so we'll just sit around and wait on him. Nowhere in the Bible does God say for you and I to sit around and wait on him. There's work to be done. Now, I know in this generation we live in tonight, the word work is a dirty word. But ministry is work. Serving God is work. Now, we don't work to be saved. That's a free gift. And thank God it is. But we ought to work because we are saved. Joshua is wanting the children of Israel to continue to follow God. They had a great leader in Moses. They had a great leader in Joshua. But after Joshua goes off the scene, and after, just as we read there, those elders of that, after they go off the scene, you go to the book of Judges in chapter number 1. And the whole theme throughout the book of Judges is men done that which was right in their own eyes. And that's exactly where we are tonight. We're living in a time where so many people are doing what they think's right in their own eyes, not by what thus saith the Lord. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people sitting in church pews.
You're right.
I'm not here to be hard tonight. I love you. Preacher, you don't even know me. I love you anyhow. And there ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. But praise God, we need to get determined. Hey, time is quickly passing us by.
Come on, brother.
Joshua has a destination in mind. And he wants the children of Israel to make it to that destination.
Come on.
Calvary, God has a destination in mind.
Yes, sir.
He wants you to make it. I want you to make
yes,
it.
Sir.
Your pastor wants you
yes,
to make
sir.
It. Pleasant Grove, God has a destination in mind. I don't want to miss it.
Amen.
Why? Because God's way is always the best way.
Amen.
Oh, even in all the battles and the heartaches, and oh, hey, I'd still rather be an old time Christian tonight than anything I know.
Amen.
Oh, the world still needs to hear. The world needs to see that our God is real.
Amen.
See, Joshua talks about the God that their father served on the other side of the flood and the gods of the Amorites.
Right.
See, those are little G-O-D-S's.
Right.
Can't do a thing for you.
Right.
Gods of hay and wood and stubble and brass and bronze and all the things that people worship today. They can't do a thing for you tonight, but I'm glad I'm looking to one. I'm glad I'm serving one. I'm glad I'm trusting in one. Thank God that'll stick with me closer than a brother. I'm glad he'll love me. Thank God even when I'm unlovable tonight. I'm glad he can reach down and encourage my old heart when I'm discouraged. I'm glad I'm serving the true and the living God tonight. God has a destination in mind. Joshua had a destination in mind. And he reminds them. He reminds them of not only deliverance from the burdens and the battles, but he reminds them of the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. Could I ask you a question again before I move on? Has God been good to you?
Amen.
I mean, has God really been good to you?
Amen.
I believe you can do better than that.
Amen.
I say, has God really been good to you?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, preacher. God's been good to me.
Yes,
he's got a destination in mind. See, Joshua knew how to get their attention. God knows how to get ours. It's the reason he left us the Word of God. That's the reason he allowed Joshua to pin down these wonderful truths. But in this destination, not only does he remind them of some things, but secondly, he reveals to them what they should do. And we see that in verse 4, starting in verse 14. Look at it with me for a moment. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods. That leads me to think this right here. Some of them were still having some trouble.
Come on. Yo, yeah.
Now why would Joshua tell them that? Why would God put that in his word if there wasn't somebody having some trouble with it?
You're right, preacher.
It's there for a reason.
It's there for a reason. Amen.
God just didn't put it there to fill up the word of God.
Right.
See, our problem is we want to hold on to the gods of this world. And try to hold on to the God of the Bible. God help us to turn loose of those gods of this world and look to the God of the Bible tonight. Because he's the only one that can help us. He's the only one. So he reminds them, but then he reveals some truths to them. I want to give you a few things tonight that they should do. Number one. We ought to also Psalms 100 verse 3 where the Bible says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Where would you be today without Jesus? I tell you where you'd be lost and undone in your sin.
Oh, yeah. Right.
With no hope and no help. But thanks be to God, you don't have to live like that.
Right.
But we didn't make ourselves. It is he that has made us. Not we ourselves. He reveals to them what they should do. Number one, they should fear the Lord. Not only does he remind them, but then he reveals some truths to them. To fear the Lord. I'll be honest with you tonight. It saddens my heart to see the lack of reverence for the things of God in this day and hour in which we live. I still believe God's people ought to have some standards. Amen. I believe we ought to have some Bible standards. I believe we ought to have some Bible convictions. Why don't we have that anymore? Like we one time had it. Because there's no fear of God. Is there not a verse in the scripture that says something like this? There was no fear of God in the land. If there's ever to be any hope for America. And I still believe there could be. But it'll take a mighty moving of God. But how in the world do we ever expect the people outside the four walls of the church to fear God when we don't fear Him ourselves?
Come on, preacher. You're telling the truth.
Oh, Lord, help us tonight.
Come on, preacher.
He's still holy. He's still right. He's still just. Why? Because He's still God. I'm glad the book of Hebrews teaches us that He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And the word fear that's used in our text tonight, it means to reverence.
Right.
We ought to reverence Him.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because He's God.
Yes, sir.
And if we're ever to get to the destination to where we need to get to be, then we're going to have to reverence Him and honor Him.
Yes, sir.
It troubles my heart that our young people
are
being taught in so many different places. Number one, there is no God. Do you understand that there is a great percentage of people in America that says they are non-affiliated with any kind of religious organization?
Right.
Why? Because we've lost the fear of God.
You're right.
I can remember a day as a boy when lost men and lost women had reverence for the things of God, for the house of God. I mean, we got to lock the doors now. We got to have security systems. We got to have people armed in the church.
Come on.
Oh, preacher, ain't nobody armed here. I'll guarantee you. I can guarantee you. I know one man sitting right here, locked and loaded right now. Preacher, I'd have never thought that as a boy. As a young man, I would have never thought that. But unfortunately, we're living, there's no fear of God. Joshua reminds them, and then he reveals to them. He reveals to them that they need to fear the Lord. And then secondly, he reveals to them they need to serve the Lord. But notice, he puts something with that. In sincerity and in truth. Not no half-hearted stuff. Not just when it's convenient. Joshua says you better make it a priority. Oh God, help us. I'll tell you, especially to this generation coming along. And I want to say tonight, if you've got children and you've got young children, you better be committed to fearing the Lord and serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. If not, we are going to lose our young people.
Come on, preacher.
They need to see something that's real.
Come on, preacher.
I don't care a nickel for this old dead, dried up religious mess. Do you, brother? I'll tell you what, God done something for me. God put something down in me. I'm telling you, thank God. We ought to rejoice. We ought to lift our hands. We ought to praise God. We ought to shout. We ought to sing the praises of God. We ought to preach. We ought to teach. We ought to sing. Hey, we ought to do everything we can. And we ought to do it with all of our heart. That's what Joshua is saying tonight to the children of Israel. Don't just half-heartedly serve the Lord. And I'm afraid we see it all the time. And I'm not trying to be critical. And I'm not trying to be hurtful in any way,
preacher.
I'm trying to help you tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Get in this thing and go.
Right.
Shock your pastor to where he just falls over. You say, preacher, how could I do that? Just come in and say, preacher, what do you need me to do? See, he's already going to heart palpitations right now. Preacher, what could I do? Preacher, how could I help? Some of you could be prayer warriors.
Come on, brother.
There was a day when prayer rooms were power rooms.
Come on.
What's happened? Oh, I know you get quiet on me. Lord, help us. God deserves so much more than that. That's what Joshua is trying to get over to them. See, he's got a destination in mind. He reminds them. He reveals some things to them. To fear the Lord, to reverence Him, to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. In other words, wholeheartedly. And the word truth means faithfully.
Come on.
You don't shock your pastor, just show up every service.
Come on.
Now, I'm a realist tonight. I know we live in a busy time. And I'm afraid the devil's had a whole lot to do with that. Yeah. We too busy. Preacher, we got to run here. And preacher, we got to run there. And we got to do this. And we got to do that. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't look over when he was going up Calvary and said, "Hold, wait just a minute, I got something else I need to go do. I'm too busy." Aren't you glad when you're praying in the midnight hour?
Come on.
And your heart's heavy and your heart's burdened and you're going through the battle. Aren't you glad, thank God, you don't pick up the prayer line and God says, "Hold on a minute, I'm busy." Hallelujah tonight. Aren't you glad this evening? Thank God He's always available. Thank God, whether it be the midnight hour, the noon hour, whatever you might be going through, I'm glad our God's available this evening. That leads me to say this tonight. We ought to be available. What talent has God give you that you could use? You could be a prayer warrior. Hey, our churches need some prayer warriors. Oh, God, if we need anything, we need some people to get a hold of God. Why? Because we can't do this thing on our own. We need some prayer warriors. We need Sunday school teachers. Amen. We need people to go knock on some doors and invite some people to the house of God. Need some people to pick up the telephone, invite some folks to the house of God. We need somebody to go around, be an encourager, be a Barnabas tonight. There's something that everybody can do. And we ought to do it with all of our heart. I don't claim to be much tonight, and I'm not much. I'm honored tonight that I could stand in a place where so many great men of God have stood before. I'm the least of the least tonight. I'm just glad God lets me get in on it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Are you glad God lets you get in on it? That you could do something for the glory of God.
Yes,
and you ought to do it wholeheartedly tonight. I don't like this half-hearted stuff.
Come on, brother.
When I worked, I went wide open. Could you imagine me slinging crackers wide open? I done it. 20 years. When I preach wide open.
Come on, brother.
Now, everybody don't preach like I do. That's probably a good thing. But I believe in giving you a whole heart. When I played ball, I didn't play to lose. I played to win.
Right.
Huh? If you're going to do something, do it right.
Right.
My daddy taught me that from the time I was just a little. If you're going to do something, do it right. If not, you're going to have to go back and lick the calf over. Anybody ever heard that? Some of you old as I am. Brother, have you heard that too?
Hey,
man. I'm glad I'm not the only one. In other words, you got to go back and do it again. And again. And again. You know what? We ought to love God enough tonight when we don't get it right the first time, go back and do it again. You ain't going to get it all right. You ain't going to do it all right.
On,
but when you don't, just go back and do it again.
Come on, preacher.
Just keep on keeping on for the glory of God.
Come on.
Not only does He remind them of some things, He reveals some things. To fear the Lord, to serve the Lord. Lord, how mercy, how late it's getting. And then the third thing He reveals to them is to put away the false gods. Right here in the text. We need to put away the false gods tonight.
Come on, preacher.
There's only one that's worthy,
yes, sir,
to be called God.
Amen.
And He's the true and the living God.
Amen.
So number one, Joshua has a destination. That's just the introduction.
Come on, preacher.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm moving along. I've seen some of them really get worried right there. Hey, my folks are used to it. Go ahead. Man, when you get down here and God gives you these nuggets, you just got to give them out.
Thanks,
So number one, Joshua's got a destination in mind. Number two, let me give you this. I see a determination to be made. And we find that in verse 15. A determination to be made. Joshua says, you're going to have to determine. Joshua says, I'm getting ready to leave out. You're going to have to determine. There's some things that you are going to have to settle. See, aren't you glad that God deals with us on an individual basis? A determination to be made. Two things. Number one, he gives them a consideration to be made. Notice in the text, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now that word evil, as it's used in the text tonight, it simply means, it means this. Is it wrong for you to serve the Lord? The word actually means, is it a mistake for you to serve the Lord? Is it wrong for you to serve the Lord? Why, Lord, have mercy when we consider what He done for us. Anything we could do for Him would be worth doing. Does it seem evil to you? Now the world looks at what we do and say, that bunch of people, they're crazy. That's all right, let them think that. Just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. But I'm afraid we've come to the place that people think, well, it's a mistake. It's not worth it. Well, think about standing before the one that died for you at the judgment seat of Christ one day. Listen, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, church. It will be worth it all. But there's a determination to be made. Do you think it's wrong? Do you think it's a mistake? Now, the devil will tell you that. The devil will tell you, anytime you try to do anything for God, the first thing he's going to do is jump up on your shoulder and start crowing. Well, you just made an awful mess of that. Well, that's all right, devil. I'll just go back and do it again. Put him on notice tonight. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, irregardless of what everybody else does. There's a determination to be made. In that determination, there's a consideration. Is it wrong? Is it evil? Is it a mistake? And then Psalms 102, let me give you this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. But not only do I see a consideration, but then I see a choice to make in this determination. And we find that also in verse 15. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. See, there's nobody else who can make this determination for you. You got to be willing to make it yourself.
Right.
Young people, don't let the devil tell you any different. It's worthy to serve God. It's worth serving God. It still works to serve God. It's still honorable to serve God. It's still joyful to serve God. It's still refreshing to serve God. Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad I can serve the true and the living God. But you have to make that determination. So Joshua, number one, he's got a destination in mind. Number two, there's a determination to be made. And that word serve, as we said, it means to work. It actually can also mean to enslave. And then it also can mean to be a worshiper. We ought to worship Him tonight.
Amen.
Sit around like a bunch of wooden Indians.
Come on.
We ought to worship Him. And we ought to do that wholeheartedly. Well, preacher, I just don't feel like worshiping. I had a hard day at work, or I had a hard day at school. And tell that to Jesus. He had a hard day. Just worship Him anyhow. He's worthy.
Yes, sir.
Have you made up your mind?
Come on, brother.
Have you? That's what Joshua, in a sense, is asking. Have you made up your mind?
Come on.
Joshua said, I believe there's a destination God has for you. There's a determination that you're going to have to make. And then thirdly, let me give you this tonight. I want you to see Joshua's dedication. Now there's a determination to be made. Joshua says, you'll have to choose. You'll have to come to the place whether or not you feel like that he's worthy to serve. But then Joshua has a dedication. Look at it in verse 15. It's very familiar. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the floor, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Here is the dedication. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is a dedication by Joshua. Now, I thought about this. Joshua is writing this down toward the end of his life. Well, preacher, that ain't no big thing. He's getting ready to pass off the scene so he could go ahead and just write that. I thought about that and I prayed about that. And God spoke to my heart and said, Joshua is just telling the children of Israel what they already know. What do you mean, preacher? Joshua has been faithful for many years. He picked up the mantle that Moses laid down and led the children of Israel over into the promised land. Now listen, I'm not looking for the promised land. I'm living in the promised land. You know, sometimes they sing that song, I'm going to the promised land. I'm going to heaven.
Come on, brother.
The promised land I'm going to, the heaven I'm going to, is not going to have any more battles. Not going to have any more burdens. Hallelujah. That's enough to lay down and just shout a while right there.
Come on, brother.
But there's a dedication. And see, the children of Israel have watched Joshua's life. As for me. See, Joshua had made that dedication a long time ago. I thank God that I can see people sitting in the church tonight that a long time ago you made a dedication.
Yes, sir.
That you were going to be faithful, that you were going to serve, that you were going to go with God, irregardless of what anybody else done. We need some of our young people to make that kind of a commitment. Some of our young couples in our churches need to make that kind of commitment. That kind of dedication. See, God honors faithfulness. He always has and He always will. God honors faithfulness. And there's Joshua's dedication. Let me give you some things about the dedication. I promise I'm winding down. It's hard, but I'm trying. See, Joshua had been a godly leader for the children of Israel. And he was going to let them know that he had followed God all those years and he was going to keep following God and serving God until God took him off the scene. That's dedication. Is there times he wanted to throw up his hands and quit? I promise you. But you know what he done? He'd made a commitment. How sad it is we're living in a time where people don't like to hear the word work and they don't like to hear the word commitment.
Come on, brother.
We need to be committed.
Somebody
says, that preacher sure needs to be committed. Let me give you a couple things about his dedication. Number one, he makes a personal dedication. See, here's the thing I want you to see tonight. Or what the Holy Ghost wants us to see. See, you're not going to ever help anybody else be dedicated. You're not going to help anybody else to point them to serve until you first personally are dedicated. Dad, you're not going to get your children committed till you get committed.
You're right.
Mom, you're not going to get your children committed till you get committed.
That's good.
Joshua says, now the rest, Israel, you can do what you want to, but as for me.
Come on.
Number one, it was personal. God again deals with us tonight on a personal basis. So tonight, number one, in his dedication, it's a personal dedication. As for me. As we said, he spent his life dedicated to following and serving the Lord. Not only was it a personal dedication, but he made it a partnering dedication. He went ahead and throwed his house in there.
Yeah. Right.
Huh? Right. What's wrong with that? Praise God, that's what we need. That's what I've already said.
Right.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right.
Dad, that means you get up when you don't really feel like it and you come to church anyway. I'm not talking about deathly sick.
Come on.
Oh, I've worked all week. I'm tired. Get up and go to take them youngins to church.
Come on, preachers.
Get involved in the work of God. And you, hey, I've never regretted one thing I've done for God.
Amen,
I've got a lot of regrets in life, but I've never regretted trying to serve God. If our young couples with young children don't begin to get dedicated and committed to the things of God, we're going to lose another generation. It's been said that what one generation will do in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. Well, preacher, Jesus is coming. Yes, He is. But you're still here. And we ought to keep working.
Right.
So in His dedication, I say a personal dedication. Have you become personally dedicated?
Come on.
To serve the Lord? Then there's a partnering dedication. I'm just going to go ahead and throw my house in there.
Yep.
Let me say this in passing tonight. I know that Israel's not the church and church is not Israel. I understand that. But there needs to be a partnering when it comes to the children of God in the house of God. If you're a member of Calvary Baptist Church, you need to throw in here together. You a member at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church? I preach to mine too while we're here. I do it all the time, so they're used to it. We got to throw in there together. We got to work together. Now, what does the devil try to do? He tries to divide. We got to get together. Brother Mark was talking in the prayer room about unity. Has there ever been a time we need unity? It's right now.
Yes, sir.
We are in this thing together.
Yes, sir.
I'm not against you. You're not against
Amen,
me.
Brother.
We're in this for the glory of God.
Amen.
But the church needs to work together.
Yes, sir.
How much good news do you hear coming from most churches? Be honest with you. And I'm not trying to be negative now. I'm just trying to be honest. Most of the time, if you hear anything coming from the church, it's something negative.
Come on.
Lord, you hear about that big fight broke out over the church the other day?
Come on, brother.
And the thing about it is, it could be Calvary, it could be Pleasant Grove.
Come on.
Don't fool yourself.
Come on.
You don't fool yourself, it could be you.
Come on.
We got to get together.
Come on, brother.
There needs to be a partnering and dedication.
Yes, sir.
Here's your pastor. Pastor, whatever God says, let's go.
Come on. Amen.
Let's go.
Amen.
God says do it, let's do it.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
I put off remodeling. God said, go, we're going. I may need a place to come to church. Would it be all right if I come here?
Come on.
I'll send Reggie over there and I can come over here. Amen. And God's had to remind us. We want to do what's right. We want to do what's best. But at the end of the day, this is just a building. This is just stuff.
Come on, preacher.
The God I'm serving tonight doesn't live in this building. He lives in here.
Come on, brother.
We need to partner together.
Yes, sir.
Don't be pulling one way and the pastor pulling another.
Come on.
Get together.
Come on.
Joshua says if you're going to reach that destination to where God wants you to go, going to have to be some dedication. You'll never get what God has for you.
Come on, brother.
You and I will never get what God has for us until we're willing to get dedicated.
Right.
I see not only a personal dedication and a partnering dedication, but I see a positive dedication. Notice the latter part of verse 15. But as for me, that's personal, and my house, that's partnering. Here's the positive. I might. Whoop, wait a minute. That must be one of them left-handed deals.
Come on.
Here's the positive. We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Johnny, we're getting up and you're going to church today. Sally, we're getting up, you're going to church today. They're having a revival meeting. They got a crazy preacher. I know he's coming over, so we got to go hear him.
Come on. Come on.
Think about what you'd miss if you wasn't here. And here's what the devil tells me. Well, it won't make any difference whether you're there or not. He's a liar and the father of all lies. How are you going to get what God wants for you if you're not here to get it? Hey, when they set the table, I'm ready to eat. And there's no more important place than you'll be all week long than right here, sitting in the house of God, getting instruction from the Word of God.
Come on, brother. That's right.
I kind of enjoy being in the house of God myself.
Amen.
I don't come to get out. I come to get in. And get all that God has for me. I see his dedication. It was personal. It was partnering. And it was positive. We will serve the Lord. Have you made up your mind? Have you made up your mind? That come whatever may come, with God's help, you're going to serve the Lord. There's one thing left and I'm done. There's a destination in mind that Joshua has for the children of Israel. But more than that, that God has for the children of Israel. Not only was there a dedication, there was a determination. There was Joshua's dedication. But then lastly tonight, there was a decision that had to be made. A decision that had to be made. And I want you to notice the seriousness of this decision. Joshua didn't say, now you go home tonight and think about it. Or come back next Sunday. Think about it and come back next Sunday.
Come on,
devil will tell you that. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, you need to be saved tonight. Because
right.
You may not have tomorrow.
You're right.
And if you're going to get in this thing and really serve him, why not go ahead and do it tonight?
Right.
Because there was the seriousness of the hour.
Oh, yeah.
Choose you this day.
Right.
There's a choice to be made. And only you and your family can make that choice. Preacher can't make it for you.
Right.
Just like salvation, nobody can do it for you.
Come on, preacher.
You're going to have to make that choice
yourself.
And then notice the verses we read. They said, we're going to make that choice. We're going to follow the Lord. Go back over to verse 31. You know, this had to do Joshua's heart good. When the children of Israel said, you know what? God's been so good to us. We're just going to go ahead and serve him. Now, as I said, as you get after the death of Joshua, when you get over into the book of Judges, we find that things change. And I'm going to tell you something here in just a second, and I'll be done. But notice verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. See, not only did Joshua make a dedication, it looks like to me Israel made a dedication. But here's the problem. I thought about this. They served for a while. But I'm afraid tonight as we look at the text and we get over into the book of Judges, somebody failed to continue to pass it on. I may not be able to leave my children and my grandchildren much in this world. As far as worldly goods is concerned. But I tell you what, there's something I can leave them. I can leave them the testimony that I loved God and I served him with all my heart. That I was dedicated to what God had put in my heart to do. You know what happened to Israel? Somebody failed to pass it on. As you study the book of Joshua, he talks about setting up stones and setting up memorials. What was that for? To remind them. And he says, make sure you tell your children's children. Tonight, church, I'm going to be honest with you. If we don't keep telling it, if we don't keep living it, and if we're not dedicated to do it, then I can promise you those coming behind. Aren't you glad that somebody come before you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And told you and showed to you what dedication is all about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You say, well, preacher, I tried to do that and my children went astray. Well, God can still get them back.